Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're your host, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover.
Hey guys, we're so glad you're with us. We are in the middle of the quarantine, so I don't know whenever you're listening to this. I hope you get to think back and we're not still in it.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, we hope we have moved through that. But today we are sitting outside in our driveway in our motorhome.
Man, it's funny because we bought this thing a year or so ago and did this renovation in hopes to do traveling and camping and all that kind of stuff. And we have.
Yeah.
But it has really become a an office for me because I'm officing out of this every day because it's quiet out here. The kids aren't out here. Wi-Fi's good out here. We're recording podcasts out here.
Yeah, the kids right now have taken over the house this morning. They're getting ready for school to start online, and we'll have to get in there and help them in a little bit. But this morning we're sitting out here just...
I've officially become the Cousin Eddie of the neighborhood, I think. My neighbors look at, why is he going out to that motorhome every day?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they don't know what's... I'm sure they figured out what's going on by now. Yeah, but
I'm sure.
So today we just want to talk to you a little bit about something we encounter a good bit when we're talking to couples in counseling. And it's one of the issues that keeps coming up, and it seems like it's pretty common. And that's what happens when my spouse is changing, when we're not on the same page. We got married, we were going down the same road, and it might be 6, 10, 15 years, the other side of kids, but my spouse is going through some sort of transformation, and I'm not on the same page with that.
Well, and in reality, when you get married, you kind of assume, okay, this is who we are, and we don't typically think that far out. We don't think 20 years down the road, what are we going to be like? 40 years down the road, what are we going to be like? And in essence, we change, and we've heard this long ago, and I think it's very true, that we become a different person every 10 years.
Yep. I think it's true. I mean, I can look back and see the evolution of my personality and my maturity from my 20s into my 30s, and then from my 30s into my 40s, things... You just change. Mm-hmm. You go through life experiences, and you get different perspective based on that. And
I used to be a guy with hair. Now I'm a guy with no hair.
Oh my goodness! Well, and when we first got married, I only knew one way to cook Southern.
Yeah.
With casseroles and lots of butter and condensed soups mixed into that stuff, and that was awesome. But yeah, when we didn't exercise early in our marriage, it didn't mix well.
And so we had to go
through that and learn how to do some things differently. And that was a process for me. But
yeah, so inevitably, that's a hard word to get out. Inevitably, indubitably, over the course of your marriage, you're going to change. You're going to become different people, and you're not the same person. You're individuals. So Bonnie, you've changed, and you've had different interests and things that God has shaped and built into you in good times. And we've gone through things where we've gone through bad changes as God's taken us into a valley. And that often doesn't happen together. Sometimes it happens individually, but because we're married, that affects our marriage and our relationship.
Yeah. Well, and back in the fall, and back in 2019, something happened, and you probably remembered it. It was Kanye West came out with his first Christian album, Jesus is King. And that there was a lot of controversy around that, a lot of conversation on social media about, is he for real? Is this a real life change? And then we hear about him starting a whole Sunday morning church movement thing. And whether, wherever that is in his life now, I don't know. But
we've moved on. We had impeachment. Now we have Corona. We'll have something else coming
up. But, through that process, he was reaching some people, and probably still is, people that in church world will never reach. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing. But thinking back on that, I immediately started thinking about his wife, Kim Kardashian. And
you didn't hear about her much through that.
No.
And media coverage.
But they're very different. They're very high profile, both of them. And the whole idea there of that he's gone through this transformation and beginning to follow the Lord, I thought, wow, what is that doing to their marriage? And he's changing drastically. And I think he was pretty... really outspoken about it.
Which and he's an outspoken dude.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So that comes out in his personality. But mm-hmm. how did that affect her? And is she on board with that? And it's tough when your spouse goes through a big change and maybe you're not going through it at the same time. So that's what we want to talk about. What do you do when your spouse is changing?
It's now time for Things I Never Said Before I Had Kids.
Don't say itchy balls in public.
This has been Things I Never Said Before I Had Kids. So today we're talking about what happens to marriages or in marriage when one of the spouse begins to change. And sometimes you go through change together. Sometimes things happen and you walk through that together. But sometimes either God begins to do something in one of the spouse's heart or life, or they go through a period of intense change, good or bad. And today we want to talk about that. We want to talk about three different types of change that can happen to your marriage, in your marriage, within your marriage, and how we can respond to that.
Well, and the first thing I think you want to think about when you're going through that whole idea of change is that it's change maybe that your spouse is pursuing.
So that's the first, yeah.
Yeah, number one is like change they're pursuing. Like maybe it's spiritual growth. And like we said with Kanye, that he is on fire and he's going down this path. And I remember his wife saying, well, this is his path. This mm-hmm. is his journey. And maybe it's spiritual growth or maybe it's a health kick. Maybe mm-hmm.
Maybe they just woke up one morning and was like, I feel terrible.
Yeah, I got to get off the couch.
And that doesn't always hit each other at the same time.
Oh,
I've woken up with things and you've been like, I ain't into that.
Yeah, you've been like, hey, let's go run a marathon. I'm like, yeah, have fun with that. I mean, yeah. No. And or maybe it's like a financial change. Maybe you're like, man, we got to get out of this debt. And maybe your spouse is a spender and like, no, I'm comfortable here. I'm not ready to commit to what that's going to do. Or maybe it's education. There are all kinds of different things that maybe your spouse has decided, I'm going to pursue growth in a certain area, and they're gung-ho. It's just this fire that's lit in their belly, and they're moving forward. They're unstoppable, and it's a good change for them. It's mm-hmm. something that's good, and it's affecting them in great ways, but you're sitting back thinking, wait a minute, that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, and the thing that's tough about change, especially when it's good change, it's something like that. It's spiritual growth. It's a big change in health or a big passion movement. The thing about change is produced by a massive combustion that happens internally. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like what they say with the space shuttle or a rocket. It takes, 75% of its fuel just getting off the launch pad. Mm. And that's very similar how change happens in us. What gets you off the couch? It's kind of like the person that you see on TV that'll show The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
Okay, you're 450 pounds here. What was that combustion that happened internally in your mind, in your heart that said, I've got to make a change? Mm-hmm. And it's not just, okay, I'm going to keep up with my calories in a calorie app when you're that much overweight. I mean, it's something,
right.
A massive life change has to happen. And I just use that as an example for a lot of other things, is that a lot of times priorities have to be shifted. You've got to jump wholeheartedly into something and almost become a maniac,
yeah,
to produce big change. Mm-hmm. And man, that can put stress on a marriage when the spouse ain't feeling that conviction.
Oh, it can be scary.
And it doesn't mean it's not healthy and that they don't need to do it.
Right, but it can be pretty scary if you're the spouse sitting by going, wait a minute, but I'm getting left behind,
mm-hmm,
or I don't feel that same way. And it's a scary feeling of, is this person going to go off without me in this? Is this person mm-hmm. going to become someone different and I can't keep up with that? There's a lot of fear that comes along with watching your spouse even make good, healthy changes. If you're not there, it can be terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It can. So how do you respond to that? We can't change what God's doing, and we don't want to, especially if this is a healthy change. Now, I will say that there's some healthy changes that can be done in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
And so, and we're going to do a podcast on this one day. I actually just made a note the other day on this, that the phrase, am I driven or am I selfish? Mm. You know, am I really wanting to, I want to make this change and this is a great change, but am I doing it in a very unhealthy, selfish way? And I think that's something that the person going through the change has to make. But that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. Right now we're talking about the other spouse and how do we respond when our spouse is changing, but we're seemingly not.
Well, regardless of whether I like it or not or agree with it, I have to come back to the fact that I'm committed to this spouse of mine, that we made a vow for better or for worse, for ups and downs, for highs and lows, for richer, for poor, for larger, for smaller, for whatever, for, you know, for broke, for, you know, it's that whatever they're going through, I couldn't see that far ahead when I made that vow.
You had no idea I was going to lose my hair.
Well, I kind of did.
You saw my dad, my brothers, my granddad.
Heredity is strong. And
you'd have had to have been blind to not see that coming.
But there are a lot of things we don't know is coming, and we sign up for those things. But we've got to go back and remember, look, I signed up to do life with this person, and change is going to come, and I can either support them, or I can, you know, it's going to be about my attitude in the process. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be bitter and grouchy and just grumpy about the process that they're going through and hold them back? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to love them and serve them and come alongside and say, how can I help? Mm-hmm. It's all in the attitude that I have. I know that I have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few years ago, you went back and you decided to work on your master's degree. And that was completely out of the blue when you came up with that. It was, you were not a good student when we were in college. And
stop.
I was
wonderful.
My
professors loved me.
you did not like school. It was not your favorite thing. I loved school. And so when we got out of school, I think I remember the phrase, I am so glad I'm done with that. I'll never do that again. And
I said it too.
Yep.
But there's some things you don't know God wants you to do until you wake up one morning and you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, life's like that. And that was one of those things for me. And I'm one of those people that I have to jump wholeheartedly into something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good at slow rolling something. And, you know, I'm very good at consistency. Mm-hmm. I can put something in motion and do it forever if I know that's what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And but I need to jump in, and whether it's health wise or whether it's, you know, there's some things health wise I have to say, okay, I'm not going to participate. I'm just not going to go there, because if I do, it's going to be unhealthy for our family time and all that kind of stuff and passion.
Yeah.
But one thing that helped with some of the things that I've really felt God calling me to do that brought great change was how you partnered with me. Mm. And you may not have done it, but yet you helped curb my enthusiasm, but you helped me realize a way to do it that could be done in a healthy way for our family.
Yeah.
It could have been really easy for you to say, yeah, I don't want any part of that. That's your thing. And you just go off and do it.
Well,
and
I might have it. I might have it times.
Well, you never made me feel that way. But it wasn't your thing, but you joined in with me in supporting my passion. Well, gosh, I mean, even with school, I mean, you proofread a lot of my papers, and because you're really good at that. And that was a great help.
Well, and that was a schedule adjustment for us for a couple of years, because you would normally take the kids to school on your way to work in the mornings. And for those couple of years, you committed that time. That was the way we worked together, is that you committed to go into the office really early so that you could get schoolwork done an hour or two before the office opened. But that meant that was a compromise for both of us, because that allowed you to still be home in time to spend time with our family. But it meant that I would get out in the mornings and take the kids to school for that year and a half to 2 years. And so that was an adjustment, but we compromised on that because it was good for our family that you were able to be home if you went in early. So that was something we worked together on. And
you encouraged me in that, and you let me know how proud you were of me, which just, you know, spurred me on all the more. So I think that's a great way to respond. Especially that's easy to do, and we'll talk about in a minute, but it's easy to do when it's a healthy change. Mm-hmm. It's just got to be done in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and if you're the one changing, you've got to realize, okay, you've got to open your eyes. And sometimes if you get tunnel vision towards this thing you're running fast toward, you feel this in your mind, everybody needs to be going there with me. Everybody needs to move mm-hmm. at the same pace. And I think part of that process for the person changing is in the marriage is to realize that you're changing, but look around, slow down, and realize that your spouse might either need time to adjust to get there with you, or it might need to be your thing, and you need to have some grace on them mm-hmm. while you're in the middle of this big thing, and encourage them, but don't expect mm-hmm. them to be where you are, and don't put all these high expectations on them, because this is new for you mm-hmm. and you're gung-ho and passionate. You got a fire in your belly, but it might not be something they're ready to go there with you. If it is something like education or a mm-hmm. marathon or something that's your thing,
health or something, yeah.
Just be considerate of what you're asking of your spouse through mm-hmm. this process. Realize how this change is going to affect their life, and they might not have been prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. And I've had people... If it's a change that you feel like you and your spouse need to have,
yeah,
maybe it's a spiritual change, maybe it's a health change, I don't know.
Or financial. Something you kind of have to do together.
Yeah. And I've had people come in and say, I want my spouse here spiritually. I want them to experience what I'm experiencing with God. Mm-hmm. That's not a change you're going to be able to make in them. And you're not going to be able to convince them. That's a Holy Spirit thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes health and things the same way. You're yeah. not going to be able to convince your spouse, hey, you need to get in shape. That's just not a healthy thing.
Well, it's not a nice thing to say either.
No, it's not. And so, but if you think about it, if you feel passionate about it, it may be that you got there and God got you there, you know, a few days or a few weeks or a year before he wants to take your spouse there. But if you're experiencing the spiritual change, and let's just say it's a spiritual change, and you're walking with God, and you're abiding in Christ, and he begins to live his life through you, which Scripture says that, and Jesus said that, remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and then you'll bear much fruit. You'll have my life live through you, the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits of the Spirit are intoxicating. Mm-hmm. Man, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What if your spouse began to see that play out in your life? Mm-hmm. Rather than you nagging them, rather than you trying to get them on the boat with you, they just saw this massive, wonderful change that benefited them greatly.
Yeah.
Because, man, look, God, they're loving, they're joyful, they're kind. What's happening? I want that.
Yeah.
That's the way that God wants to get your spouse in the boat with you, not by you begging them. And the health thing could be the same thing. What if your spouse sees that you're not putting pressure on them? You're being gracious for them. You still love them as they are. But, man, you have more energy. Man, you're looking good, and you're enjoying. Yeah. You're having fun going out and exercising. That may be something that would draw them to it.
Challenging and encouraging yeah. at the same time.
Yeah. So sometimes we just have to keep our mouth shut
yeah.
and just let the good change speak for itself.
Well, yeah. I think that we use this word a lot in our home, and I think we've used it a lot here on the podcast, and that's grace. Have grace on each other. It goes both ways. If you're the one changing, have grace on your spouse who's not.
Yep.
And if you're not the one changing, have grace on your spouse, realizing they're doing something that's really good, and to learn to work through that with them. And yep. communication is a big thing through that process too. Just keep leaning into each other and being honest and communicate through the process.
Yeah. So the first change is the change that they're pursuing. Here's the second change. The second type of change we're going to talk about is the change that they're enduring. Mm-hmm. This is a change that's out of their control. Maybe it's grief, it's a job loss, health issues, menopause, emotional pit, whatever. And typically in marriage, a lot of these affect both of you, but there's a lot of times you're going to go through them together.
Yeah.
You know, if it's grief, the person you lost, you're both probably tied to. I know, Bonnie, I grieved your when your daddy died, but not like you did,
right?
You know, and one day God will take my parents home, and you know, and you'll support me in that grief. Maybe it's a job loss, job change, health issues, different things like that. So this is the change that your spouse is simply having to endure.
Yeah. Well, that's hard because they didn't see that coming any more than you did. Right. And it wasn't something they asked for. And I think sometimes it's a little easier to have grace on each other through that when you realize, okay, this is a hard time they're going through. But after a while, I think we all have this tendency when it's not us and it's not in our thought process as much as it is theirs to say, okay, enough already. Mm. We feel that, all right, isn't it time to move on from this? But the biggest thing about that is we need to walk through this change, keeping that person close,
mm-hmm.
Pressing in, and don't let them go through it alone. Mm-hmm. The longer you can stay close to them and press into them through that process, the quicker they can probably come out on the other side. But if someone feels like they're walking through something alone, if I feel like I'm having to carry this by myself and you don't understand and you're not there for me, I'm going to probably pull away from you for one mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take me a lot longer to come through this pit or whatever it is I'm in. And we need to keep pressing in. Now, there are times that our spouse is going through something and you're trying to press in and they're still pulling back because they're not sure mm-hmm. how to do that. I know when you walk through an emotional pit at a season, I kept trying to press in and it made you pull away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got to see what our spouse needs in this process to be sensitive to that. Do they need to go in their man cave for a little bit, but then don't let them stay there?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they need some time to emotionally sort through things and just be held?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that. I love you no matter what. I just want to help you walk through this, whatever that looks like that your spouse needs.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a clear cut, easy answer on this. I mean, if you retaliate, you're going to create more space.
Yeah.
You're just going to drive a wedge through you. It's kind of like with your neighbors, right? You got to live with your neighbors, and maybe you like your neighbors and love your neighbors, but if you retaliate over something, then all you're going to do is drive a wedge. And so find a win-win solution or keep the peace. Or if you choose to lean in and support your spouse during this time, then and show them grace, like we talked about in love, then at least you're keeping the heartstrings intact and yeah. you're not doing any irreparable damage.
Yeah.
So you either lean in or you lean out. Sometimes you just have to lock down.
Mm.
And like you were saying, if you lean in, you're just going to drive them away. You know, the husband that's retreating to the man cave and has, you know, got maybe some resentment in his heart or is going through something, doesn't want to be held. He just wants a space.
Yeah.
And so leaning in may not be the good thing to do. I'll never forget the movie Twister.
That was
our first movie we ever watched.
Yes. And we had been dating a whole year before we went to a movie.
That's right.
And that was our first, it was like our 1 year dating anniversary. We went out to meet. We didn't have any money back then.
Yep. And so we went and saw Twister. And so, where was I going with? Oh, so I'll never forget when the tornado came at the end, like the big Category 5. Is that right? Or is that hurricanes? I don't know. Anyway, the biggie at the end of the movie. And they're just trying to find something to lock down, and they find that little shack, remember?
Yeah.
And it's got all the pipes that reach uh-huh. deep into the earth, and they took those leather straps that were hanging conveniently there, and they latched themselves onto these pipes, and the tornado comes through, and I don't know how realistic this is, but the tornado comes through, it takes the shack, but they're hanging on with all they have latched down to these pipes. And that's a great picture of what you may have to do if your spouse is enduring a change, is you may just have to weather it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to lock down. You may have to, you know, keep the responsibility with the kids going, keep the home fires burning while they're going through their pit.
Yeah.
And because here's the deal, you're probably going to go through one through the course of your marriage as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you're looking at a 50, 60 year marriage, hopefully that's what we're, our goal is here on this adventure, is that you're not going to, it's not going to be smooth sailing for you.
Yeah.
And so you're going to go through something, and it may not be the same thing. It might be different, but the same grace that you're going to need them to show to you, you got to show them. And sometimes that means just kind of holding tight and holding on while they weather it, and God brings them out.
It brings to mind in Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And it's that bearing with one another in love. And then just doing what you can to keep your unity through that process. And I think scripture speaks, I think just being patient with each other is a big thing through this whole process if someone's changing.
Mm-hmm. So the first kind of change was the one that your spouse is pursuing. The second is the one that they're enduring. And here's the third one. It doesn't rhyme. I wish it did. It's the change that's unhealthy or destructive. Yeah. It may be a change that they've brought on.
Through unhealthy behavior.
Which is very difficult for a spouse to weather, because you've brought destruction on our family, on right. our relationship. How do you handle that?
And that's a hard one. And the first thing
I'm going to get a sip of coffee while you I'm going to toss that in your corner.
I think the first thing there is this is something that you can be so close to that you can lose perspective on. So I think it's really wise to seek some godly counsel and maybe some accountability during this process. That if your spouse is doing something that's so unhealthy and it's affecting you and your family, you're going to be really close to it and you're not going to be able to see straight. So one thing you can do to start with is just seek some healthy counsel for that, because your natural response to that is probably just going to be to revolt or to preach or to try to control or
resentment or hatred that eventually leads to, you know, unforgiveness leads to hatred. So, all these you feel emotions with. This one, it pits you on opposite teams.
Yeah. And so when they're going through something, then they're doing something so destructive, I think, so you might want to jump in and help them and pull them through it. So it's so important in this process when you're seeking counsel and accountability, because you've got to stabilize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing, they're reeling, they're spinning out of control, and you've got to stabilize yourself enough to be able to help them weather this, walk through this, come through it on the other side. And maybe if you've got children, you might be having to hold your family together.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to do everything you can to ground yourself in the Word of God and in a godly community and godly counsel to be able to keep your focus during this process. Because if you allow yourself to, there's so many different ways you could take this, whether you're trying to jump in there to save them and you could be sucked down as that whole, you don't jump in and drown someone who's, you know, save someone who's drowning. You throw them you throw them the life saver. You don't, and then you pull them back in. You don't jump in with them because you can be sucked down.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful how you are trying to rescue your spouse out of this. That's why you need to surround yourself with people who can help keep you anchored to the dock so that you don't drift out with them. And you don't need yes men in this process or people who are going to just say, oh, yeah, just kick them to the curb. You just need to be able to stay focused and grounded through this process.
Mm-hmm. One thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to keep tabs on your heart.
Yeah.
If you allow your heart to get hardened, to get bitter, become resentful, then that's gonna control your actions, your attitude, everything that happens. Even if it's in the worst of cases, you know, even if it's in a position where your spouse has had an affair, your spouse is abandoning you, your spouse is leaving you, you can make the same rational, correct decisions. When I say keep tabs on your heart, that doesn't mean that you're gonna become a doormat.
No.
It just simply means that you're not going to allow the enemy to breed bitterness, hatred in your heart. That you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to control your mind and your heart. I've seen people go through hell in marriages but find a revitalized relationship with Christ, the other spouse. Mm. And it's like, how are you walking through this with such joy and with such, I mean, you're not happy, obviously, but you've got joy.
Right.
And it's just the Holy Spirit. But if you give your heart over to hatred and retaliation and trying to get even, man, that's not good for your kids. It's not good for your marriage. It's not good for any situation.
Right.
So keep your heart before the throne of the Lord and allow him to do his thing there.
And allow him to keep you stable in that process. Let him be the rock that you're standing on and that you're abiding in, and it'll keep you from going down. So you could easily go down the same path. And sometimes when someone's going down a destructive path in retaliation, and maybe that's not the same path we go down, but we choose other unhealthy things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're doing this, then I'm going to do this. Or
we allow their sin to incite us to sin.
Right. And that's not...
Well, they did that. I should be able to do that.
Sure. Well, if you're going to come through it, you've got to be able to be stable enough to see truth and move through it on the other side. Be dependent on the Lord and not codependent on your spouse.
It's a great reminder that marriage isn't a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
It's interdependent.
And I think we just keep coming back to this, having grace. And grace takes on different forms, because some seasons grace looks like tough love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having grace on you, but I have to make the hard decisions for your good and for the good of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And grace is not always a soft, you know, you just do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is showing love and unconditionally loving, but still making the right decisions that can push your spouse towards health, and your family towards health. And that's hard.
Yes. There's sometimes in marriage, and I've seen this many times in couples, where one of the spouse has brought on issues in their marriage, and let's just take it from infidelity. And this person is basically choosing the other person, and they're abandoning their family. And sometimes the hard thing to do is to let them go to their the folly of their whims.
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult thing to do, but you have to.
Yeah.
And there's many times that hit rock bottom and they come back. And I think that's where keeping your heart before the Lord is very important, because if they come back, once this is played out, and they try to come back, or they try to make restitution with you, you're not operating out of a place of bitterness and resentment and hatred. Mm. Now you're able to operate out of a place of personal health, and you're able to look at it and ask the Lord, okay, God, is this a healthy thing for me to invite them back, or is this a destructive thing? The heart that's given over to resentment and hatred would say, oh, no, I ain't. And you're going to listen to all the yes men and, girl, you don't need to, you know.
Right.
But the heart that's been kept before the Lord can listen to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says no.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit says yes. So,
so good. So good. Well, it's tough when your spouse is going through something. Maybe they brought on themselves. Maybe something that they didn't bring on themselves, or something they're pursuing that's healthy. And change is just hard in general. And so I think we've given a lot of action steps today, but, you know, I think it's just that the ribbon that runs through it is have grace on each other, keep pressing in, keep looking to the Lord and allowing him to use change in your marriage or in your spouse to make things better in your relationship, and to walk through it and become stronger. So
That's good. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us today. Hopefully the sun's shining and you can get outside and have some fun. We'd love for you to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and we have a YouTube channel, which every Friday morning at 7 a.m. we release a new YouTube video. It's a little 4 to 5 minute, 6 minute video. And, man, I strongly recommend you and your spouse, I tried to combine those two, you and your spouse watch those videos together, chat about it. Doesn't take long, doesn't take a minute, but man, I think it could help your marriage greatly. And so y'all have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.